Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Will Alexander.
Indeed, you are. We have a good show for you this week. Today, we're going to talk about the golden era of dog shows. Is it? Was it? I think it might be. We'll talk a little about that and the mentors that are involved in that whole amazing era. The economy of motion for handlers in the ring. It's right in the Junior Showmanship Rule Book. Maybe it should be in all of them. Fees. What does it cost to be a judge? The sacrifice and the dollars. All that and more coming up on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go.
Well, hey there, young William. How the heck are you?
Oh, I'm very good, Wayne. I'm a little tired. It's been a long week already, but I'm raring to go. Let's go. Put me in.
You sure are. Hey, you know, it's Tuesday, so a long week. It's only been 2 days, bud.
I know, but I showed all weekend, and it was one of those shows that was just far enough that I didn't stay. I would drove back and forth. But we had such bad weather the one night. It was a horrible drive. It exhausted me. An hour, you know, you're gripping the steering wheel. And it was, I'm here.
Not a lot of fun. Well, it's good to see you. We have had quite a bit of snow here. And it makes it tough for walking the doggies, you know. Makes it tough. Anyway.
You're killing him. I'm sure he just walks right over it.
Well, he's funny. He's terrified of ice. Terrified of ice. And he'll walk, he can see it before I do, which is good. It's kind of like one of those truffle dogs. He's an ice dog. He'll tell me, whoa, he'll put all four legs down, like, nope, there's ice there. I ain't going. And he'll go up on it, he'll walk through a deep snowbank to avoid what could be icy on the road or the sidewalk.
Good boy.
Yeah. Well, when you're that big and you slip once or twice, it's scary.
Yeah.
I mean, he was terrified. His legs were splayed out, you know, like an albatross's wingspan. He did not like that at all. So, yeah, he sorted that out real young in life. Anyway, it's been a short week already. I've got a bunch of decisions to make this week. Young William, I've got to either go to Novi, where you're going.
Yep, I'll be there.
Or I've got to go to Gray's Lake.
So that settles it. I'm in Novi. You best just go to Novi.
Well, I love your brother, but if there's more points in Gray's Lake, and these are the CEU points. I know you're here sick of us talking about them, but...
No.
I don't think you have any idea out there.
It frightens me just listening to it.
I'm applying for 12 breeds. I need 120 points. I've got 117, and it could take me a long time to get three more points because I want good ones. I don't want to just go and run anybody, but it's not that easy. If you're going to observe, right, and then that's the best way, I think, to observe in the ring with somebody you respect. You're in there and you're seeing the dogs against each other, and it's just a better way. And it's something that I feel strongly about. And it's a good way to get 2 points if you look at it that way, mathematically, rather than one, although I never look at it that way. But the judge has, so I'm looking at the premium list and then I'm looking at the judging programs. So between these two shows, I need majors because it doesn't count unless it's a major. And guess what happens to majors, Will?
They break.
And they're right on the button. Now, if I need four, there's four. So if one doesn't show up, it's a wasted trip. And then on top of that, you're like, oh, that's a judge I really respect. That's someone I really want to learn under. Oh, they've only had them for 11 years. They've had to be licensed for them for 12 years as a regular judge, not a provisional judge.
Wow.
12. Now, I don't know where the hell 12 came from. Because 10 sounds good to me.
5 sounds good to me.
It does to me, too. Especially some of these people who have devoted their entire life to sporting dogs, 60 years in sporting dogs. They're finally retired from their whatever handling or job or whatever, and they're judging. So they might not have the 12 years in the bank, but they might have 60 of experience.
In the bank, exactly.
I don't want to go in the ring with somebody. Yeah, I'm going to miss out on someone who has 9 years but has way more experience than anybody with 12 because they've been doing them long enough. It's just crazy. try to change. Now, I'm not saying I like the system. I do. But something's got to happen with these points and some of the requirements. I think the exams are great. They're terrific. They make you really study the standards. And a lot, and the seminars, you know, some of them are very good. Some of them are, you know, but that's true in life of anywhere, right? The webinars are good, but they're not all good, you know, but most of them are. The breed courses are all great, but that's $50 a pop. They don't have them for every breed. There's something in me that's, and you know, I've been lucky in life. I can, this isn't a big setback for me financially, but if you're just leaving a profession, especially if you're a handler, what are you going to do for the 5 years it takes before you start making money? And where are you going to get this money to pay for all these fees and all these trips and specialties and drives across the country to get 2-3 points?
Yeah, there's the
problem. There are a lot of people waiting on the outs, waiting on the sidelines. Sorry about that. I'm usually the one that turns the mic on. Now they're going to buzz too. Must be important. It's probably the bat phone. Anyway, sorry about that. But the dollar amounts really add up. And just to go over that very quickly, to be an all breed judge, and this is obviously not everyone's goal, but everyone's trying to get close. If you live long enough, you have to be 195 to get there. Your fees alone are pretty steep. So it's $35 an exam, right? And it's $50 for breed course. Now, there's not a breed course yet for every breed, but the ones there are terrific. So 199 breeds now. That's $16,915 for fees. Now, no one pays me to drive to Novi and then schlep 5 hours the other way to Gray's Lake to try to learn something and observe under good people. If there's a major, if the major doesn't break, it's a worthless trip. But it's not free. And you go to a national, that's a couple thousand. It's the best way to learn to breed, in my opinion. And it's, I don't know, I don't mind. I'm okay with it. But I just, every time I go through it, I think about the people who can't afford it, who don't have the time. They're still working. I don't know how it's done.
They can't. No way someone could quit to do that. They just couldn't.
We're starving for judges. We need new judges. Yep. Everyone that's got 4 or 5 groups they're not young. You can't be. It takes so long to get these things. So by the time you got 4 or 5 groups, you're 70, 80 years old. Where's the next win? Where's the next level? Where's the win that's going to get this thing going down the road? I'm concerned with this many shows and this many breeds. Something's got to be done to make this process more either affordable or, I mean, when you think about it this way, without judges, you can't have dog shows.
That's right.
Without dog shows, you don't have a lot of reason for purebred dog breeders to breed dogs. So your registrations from anybody who's a responsible breeder, breeding for the standard, breeding with health clearances, doing the right thing, there's no dog shows. There's no incentive for them to breed dogs. So don't you think judges are kind of an important, essential gear?
Oh, there's no question. And they haven't had to worry about it because they had a good corral of judges or stable, but look what's happening. Time marches on and it's getting harder and harder to get those licenses. So it's, yeah.
Now, one could suggest that paying $50 for a course, if you're a judge, wouldn't the AKC want you to be educated? Why do they charge you for that?
Yeah.
You would think they'd want you to be able to get all the resources possible. I don't know. I might be looking at it wrong. And again, it's a hard time for me because I have the time and the money. But man, I just don't think it's, I don't know.
Well, that answers why we don't have certain people. That's why.
It's for the same people judge every weekend. You know, the few that have enough groups to afford the clubs, the privilege. But I don't know. It is a privilege, and I don't take it lightly, but
it's true. It really is.
I, I guess we try so hard in today's world to make it fair for everybody, to make it not fair for everybody, to make it even for everybody.
Yeah, a level playing field. You know?
At the attempt to make it fair for everybody, you make it fair for nobody. Because not everybody's the same.
Nope, exactly.
Anyway, enough. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going down to Tallahassee. God, I love Leah James and that crew. They're just such fun people. They put on an unbelievable thing. February 24th, 5th, 6th. It's a 5-day. It's five. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So yeah, it's a big weekend. And a lot of good dogs come. I mean, the quality is always super. And I was down there last year to observe under Johan and to measure a beagle. That wasn't free. But I passed my measuring test and got 2 points. Anyway, I enjoyed every minute of it. It was well worth it. I would have been there anyway. But I'm looking forward to it this year. It'll be fun. And there's a lot of breeds with real good dogs right now in that area. So it's going to be tough calls all the way through. And that's what you hope for.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what you hope for. So yeah, that'll be fun. And then after that, got a bunch of specialties coming up again. And I'm doing an Ask a Show too. That's the Australian Shepherd Club of America.
I love those.
I do too. I've done, I don't know, 6 or 7 of them, maybe more. And one of the things, and I love doing them, the people are great. They get it. It's a functional dog, functional herding breed. They get it. It's really cool. And they show both ways. They show AKC too. A lot of them.
We've had them in conjunction with our shows. Yes. In the evening, but they're still in conjunction, the same site.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
I do juniors for them. Now, I've got to... if I want to do them for the AKC, I've got to go through that process and pay $35. But anyway, Ask is thrilled that I'm able to do it for him. You know, I was a junior. For all the years, you could be a junior. I've taught handling classes and worked for a few handlers of note. I look forward to going through that process. But when I was thinking of ASCA and I was thinking of the juniors thing, and now I'm interested getting back in, I feel strongly that Maribeth's done an extraordinary job with the juniors program. She's just done an amazing job. And I really want to contribute to something I used to do and feel strongly about. And in doing so, I pulled up the rules, young William. The rules.
Rules. We have rules. Rules.
Here. Rules. I wish I had more ribbons. But the judges and examination evaluation section 8, is sensational. It's just brilliant. It, however, wastes its time only being in the juniors' rules and regulations. Because I think everybody who's ever taken 5 cents to show a dog needs to sign this contract to the world.
Oh, really? Let's hear it.
Yeah. There are 4 basic areas: proper breeds presentation, skill in the individual dog's presentation, knowledge of ring procedures, and appearance and conduct. The general rule in evaluating a handler's capabilities is, this is all uppercase, not mine, economy of motion. I couldn't agree anymore. Absolutely right. Handlers who use exaggerated motions and gestures in any phase of their presentation of the dog should be faulted. Yes, they should, especially in the breed ring.
Wow, can you imagine? Wait a second.
No one's allowed to be in here anymore. You're all excused.
While you're doing that courtesy turn to the next ring, come back over. Yeah, look at this.
Exactly, right?
Here.
Isn't that beautiful? In essence, the judge should be hardly aware of the capable handler's presence while completing the dog's examination.
Who wrote that?
I'll read that again. It must have been Maribeth because it's too damn good for anybody else. I mean, it's real good.
Yeah.
In essence, the judge should be hardly aware that the handler's of the handler's presence. Yeah, I'm down. I love this. I love this. The judge's principal consideration to be fine those juniors who possess a hand for the dogs without overhandling their dogs. They present their dogs in a quiet, efficient manner. They are able to keep their dog's attention without dramatic or unnatural movements. They are able to gait their dog in a collected trot, just never, never distracting or interfering with the judge's vision of the dog. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this should be under the ring sign where it says ring nine, this should be posted. And you should have to each sign it, you know, on your way in.
Yeah. I promise to do this if I walk in this ring.
Isn't this good?
That's excellent. I want a copy of that. I want to take
it. Section 8, the junior showmanship guidelines for judges. It's extraordinary. Economy of motion. I've had people almost break through the skin of their dog from rubbing its parts that I'm supposed to see. That I already saw when they walked in. Do you think I'm that stupid? Because if you do, you shouldn't have entered under me. And that's fine too, right? But to constantly point and rub at your dog's shoulder or eye or head or that's selling. Okay, fine. Once or twice, maybe, but I got it. Stop with the exaggerated motions. And
Is that what it says? Economy of motions?
It says economy of motion. In uppercase, the only thing in this rule that's in all caps is economy of motion.
I like that. I'm writing that down.
We want to see the dog. We don't care about you. You're lovely. I hope you did your work. But you should disappear. Like it says here, you should hardly be present. The judge should hardly be aware of the handler's presence. Hardly be aware. If you're standing, I wish you could see the gesticulations that are going on at Kavanaugh's house right now. But if you're doing all this with your hands, it's an insult to oversell shoulders on a short-coated breed. When I saw them outside the ring and then they walked in the ring, I'm going to see them again when they move. Knock it off. Not to mention, and we've been through this before, but it's really getting old. You don't teach this, Will. I know you teach just the opposite. When you say down, the handler's right there, the exhibitor. I'm not saying professional handler, the person showing the dog.
Any handler, anybody,
right in front of you, right there, and they're looking right at you, and the dog's right there between you and the handler, and you say, take them down and back. They disappear. They go away for half an hour.
They go to the next ring, they fix their hair, and they come back.
It's just, I'm looking like, where the hell are you? I got a pretty good peripheral. Where the hell are you? They're not there anymore. They're behind me. What are they doing back there? Well, they got to groom it for a half an hour because that's, you know, doesn't matter how much hair. It's just, you get them because who would possibly be able to see a dog that's not brushed perfectly? And then they get going back there, Will. They turn up the horsepower is what they do. They get going way back there. So when they hit me, they're going 400 miles an hour. And guess what I didn't get to see? All I wanted to see was a dog walking away from me into its stride. That's all I wanted to see.
We used to have this handler named Billy.
I don't get to see that.
Billy Mill. I don't know if you remember Billy Mill. He was a wonderful handler. He's mostly toys, but he used to describe those handlers. He'd say, did you see so-and-so in the ring? Swoop, dip, turn, fart, away you went. That was his favorite. Swoop, dip, turn, fart, and go.
So down and back is taken on a new interpretation. Instead of taking your dog down and then back, it says before down, behind, circle, swirls, get them going as fast as you can. So the time you hit the judge's eyes, it's a blur. And when you get down there, spin around, come back, and don't come back ever. Just go sideways in the middle of the ring or under my nose or over here, or over there. I want to see the damn dog stop. How hard is this?
Well, some of them stop halfway. You got to walk out and look at them. But listen, I was watching this weekend and I actually told somebody, I said, when your other half is showing to me, do not let them do that. Do not let them go. When I say take it down and back, I want them to go in front of me, go down, back, not out to the corner, fix their dog's hair, give it a kiss in their nose, and come all the way back and then go. I don't want that. I should start a timer. Just start. Okay, I have this much time for your dog. Chloe, you're up. Your time's up. Next.
That's not a bad idea. What if they walked? What if they made them, no matter what size dog, what speed dog, what if you made them walk down and back? And then when they go around from the side, they can do what they want.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be interesting? You'd see spiders is what you see.
J.D. Jones did that sometimes.
Really?
I think he did, yes. Hmm. Walk it, please. Walk it, please.
Hmm. Interesting.
I think he did.
Well, you know, when they're straight in shoulder and over-angled behind, which is so common in so many breeds today, those first couple steps are hysterical.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That's like Monty Python's Ministry of Silly Walks. I mean, that's hysterical.
Well, it's the same when they do that crazy, over-exaggerated Curtis turn. It takes them four steps to get back in line. It's not a pretty picture, those four steps, trying to get back in line.
You watch the videos of the garden, Ken Murray and all the other great sporting dog handlers.
Boom, boom.
When they say down and back, they got a couple inches of leash and they go straight down and back. It's beautiful.
Yep.
Oh, man, I don't know. I feel like a grumpy old man sometimes.
Yeah, I know, me too sometimes. I think, oh, they're all just behind my back going, listen to him.
And you know, the scariest part is that, yeah, I've been around a while, but when I'm on a panel, I'm usually the youngest one because everybody's 80, which is great. But again, where's the backfill? You need those people.
Oh, my all that God. Experience.
And we have some amazing, I think our best judges are 80 at this point.
Well, Mr. Reynolds was there this weekend. It was so good to see Mr. Reynolds. Oh, yeah. And just the command he has of the whole dog show, mm-hmm. really. You know, it's yeah. like his presence yeah. just is so overwhelming.
It is. It's brilliant. It's beautiful. And I don't know, maybe I grew up under the wrong mentors. I think I grew up under the best mentors in the entire sports history. But that reminds me. Your interview with Jimmy Dixon was spectacular last week.
Oh, what a good guy. What a just a wealth of knowledge and stories and his memory. And he's just a good guy. He just is.
He's a solid guy.
Yep.
I had one of those Border Terriers that the Siemens bred that I got from Jimmy from my sister-in-law. And then when she passed away, we got the dog back and we had her for, she would be 16. Terrific dog, just terrific. But sort of, I'm from that area, so I've known Jimmy since he was a little kid. And we worked for some of the same people and crossed the same paths. He talked about some of the handlers during the interview. And the more I thought about it, man, we got lucky. We were born at the right time and the right
sure
place.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there's ever been an area of the country with that many great handlers and that many great dogs.
Concentration of just the best, you know?
Bob and Jane Forsyth, Bill Traynor, Teddy Young, Richard Bauer, Peter Green, Bobby Fowler, Cliffy Hallmark, Tom Gately, Paul Evans. And that's just, and I'm missing 50 people. And we traveled together. It was only between New England and Virginia, maybe, you know, more like New Jersey and Connecticut. It was just right there, Pennsylvania included. Wow, we were lucky. And we got to see great dogs in every breed too. And that's something you can't manufacture. You know, if you happen to live in a part of the country where you're not seeing real good whatevers, you're never going to learn. Yeah, we were lucky. Man, the more I think about that.
I know. And he was telling the stories. I'm thinking, what I would have given just to hang out there. You know?
Yeah. Oh, when you were a kid, you just shut up and sat. And we all went to dinner together, too, by the way. Forsythe demanded that we go to dinner with him, with the clients.
Yeah.
And you sat there and shut up and listened. And it was, you were so tired. And you knew you still had X one more time.
That's the word. You got to go back and X.
Yeah, you went and you learned. And then we have these great parties and at Bob and Jane's or anywhere, Ted's. And it would just be great fun just sitting around listening. But one of the things Jimmy got to in there, and it's true, all these handlers that I just mentioned and more had clients that were breeders. And when Jimmy said that, clients that were breeders, I'm talking about the big, wealthy clients of the giant kennels.
Exactly.
That doesn't exist much anymore. There are some, but not like there used to be. Every one of these people had somebody that they not only showed the dogs for, they helped on breeding decisions. They helped. We whelped all the Farrell's Smooth Fox Terriers. If I ever apply for Smooth Fox Terriers, where's the box where I whelped 1,000 of your litters? you know, those were great experiences in education.
Those are the dream jobs you always wanted. Like, I remember when I was a kid, like from 11, 12, up to 16, I wanted to work at Trevelda Farms. That's all I wanted to do.
Yeah.
That was my dream job.
Mm-hmm. You would have been right there in the pocket. Yeah. Yep. You would have loved it. But I remember when Forsyth, every once in a while, if he was in a particular mood, when he was handing out the checks, I remember him saying once, it was $100. That's what we got paid. And I remember handing me the money and saying, you should be paying me this much money for the education you're getting here this week. He was right.
Right.
He was absolutely right. Absolutely right. And now we've got to pay for the education, fee by fee, trip by trip, point by point. But and it was a great time. We're just
now think about that. Think about, can you imagine mostly Janie, or Bob and Jane, if they had to pay all those fees back in the day?
Oh. Well, Janie, would she? She wouldn't have made a penny.
Not a chance.
I mean, that's just funny.
She'd still be showing dogs.
You're going to give me a self-addressed envelope with a stamp on it. I'm not paying a stamp to ship this thing into you. I'm not paying for postage. I'm doing you a favor. Oh, man. We're talking about the inimitable Jane Forsyth, one of the greatest people that ever lived in this sport or on this planet. And I'll argue anyone who changes, who thinks that's not true. One of the best. She taught me so much about life and dogs and handling and in business to a degree, you know. She made sure every penny went right where it's supposed to go.
Oh, yeah.
It worked out. So I thought it was a great interview with Jimmy. And I really, when he said about clients that were breeders that involved during the breeding program, we have a few of those. But all these people had them back then.
Yeah.
You know, Elsie Neustadt's Greyhounds and the Sal Gray Boxers and the Smooth Fox Terriers and the Farrells and, oh, so many more that were so involved in every decision. We bred and whelped the litters there.
Oh, I love it. And when he spoke about Kate Seaman sending him over to England to look at dogs, yeah. bring dogs back and... Yeah. That would have been a dream. I would have been, I did that to a degree with some clients, but yeah.
Jimmy had a great opportunity. He was good at it too, and he did it quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, Pete would go over quite a bit too. And I know Doug went over and got a dog or two from greatest wire guy in the world. I can't think of his name.
Harry
O'Donoghue. Yeah. Just a great guy too. So, you know, there's that goes on here and there, but man, it used to be, okay, here's your life, son. For the next 50 years, you're going to breed my dogs, all of them. You're going to show all of them. You're going to whelp all of them, and you'll be involved in every breeding decision. That doesn't happen anymore. Doesn't happen anymore. And that would be your career. That would be your livelihood for the rest of your life. We used to have kennel managers that were... you know, Tom Gately and those guys were kennel managers when they came over. The breeders brought you over from usually Scotland, Wales, or England to manage their kennel and do the breeding and do all that stuff and take care and show the dogs. The showing the dogs was like an extra part. You were there to manage the kennel and breeding program. And I wonder if we didn't get better dog men and dog women through that channel.
Well, I'm sure we did.
On a more regular basis.
I used to love going through the old dog world, I think it was. And the cards in the back, and you see kennel manager Tom Gately.
It's just the best. I'm going through my library and cleaning stuff out, and I've got some great old catalogs that Henry Stecker gave me. And he, by the way, he bred all those poodles and boxers for his clients back then. They'd bring dogs from Germany, and the stories of them going to get the dogs, the docks too. But anyway, it makes sense that more is put on handling and presentation today and showmanship. Because when you're not exposed to the finances of the day, the whole economy of the day in dogs was so far different. You had billionaires, shipping magnates, whatever, decide they wanted to show dogs. And they'd go all in. And you would think the sport would think, oh, they spent so much money on the sport, that's great. No, they spent money educating everybody and developing people with great keen sense of dogs and dog flesh. Yep. And now I wonder if we don't, because we don't have those opportunities, it's not our fault. We rarely have those opportunities anymore. Is that why we put so much emphasis on showmanship and conditioning and haircuts?
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember sitting down with George one time, and George Ward telling me when his first job in the States was an Airedale kennel, and he had like 60 Airedales he had to keep in code. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I can't imagine. Those guys worked. It wasn't, they ate a little bit and slept a little bit. They worked. Oh. But it was an apprenticeship. You were learning the whole time. All aspects. And by the way, your kennel would get wiped out by distemper back then. You know, you go to a dog show in Philadelphia, and the next week in Atlantic City, they're all dead. Those things happened back in the 40s and 50s.
Before the vaccine.
Before vaccines. Truckers in Ottawa. Anyway. but it was a different time in a different world and a different economy. And our economy now and our whole world is more defined by glamour and beauty.
Yep. And instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
You would need back. You'd listen to those old boys like Fred Fraser. One of, they'd be getting a dog at home, getting in coat before it even came out. So they were working on it for 6 to 8 months before it even came out.
Yeah. I remember sending you, directing a beagle your way. And I said, what do you think? And you said, this is a beagle. It would take me 6 to 8 months to get its coat and get it in condition and shape. And it would have.
Because you want it to be as best as you possibly make it to present it. You know, the people you're presenting for. I used to love, Garrett used to always do it. Garrett Lambert, he'd see his ads and it would say, from the kennels of Wayne Kavanaugh, we present, you know, that's how he always advertises dogs, from the kennel of.
Oh, nice.
And Snelling, you know, the kennel of.
Wow, she breeds some great dogs too.
She sure did.
Yeah. Mm. And Mrs. Jeffords, Mrs. Walter Jeffords.
Yeah.
Can I tell you that, I may have told you this, but when I judged the Bryn Mawr Hound Show, the pack that I gave, my breed winner in Penn Merrydale's was, my breed winner and my best of opposite were all out of the same pack. And it was the pack that Mrs. Jeffords sold.
Oh, wow.
After Walter died and she got disinterested in the packs. How ironic is that? And it was in Pennsylvania. And I had two great show up to watch me, Elliot Weiss and Mike Poisrat. Two great, great dog men. And Jimmy talked about Mike Prosser.
You need to interview Michael. Yeah, I
should
write that down because he was a great guy to hang out with.
Yeah. Great dog man, great eye, great hands. And by the way, we had Bobby Fischer too.
Yeah. Bobby Fischer. The master.
The master. We had him there too. It was cheating. I'm telling you, it was cheating. And just being at Gray Harlan, we had 100 and some runs, and we always had the best of every breed there was. I mean, if you had the best one, you wanted Bob and Jane to show it. So we had a kennel full of dogs that are, you know, still thought of as the greatest that ever lived. They might not be, but back in then they were.
Back in their day.
You know, some of them should be. You know, some of them I'd like to see back.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a different time, different world. Anyway, on a farm, and by the way, we mentioned it last week, we lost Don Leonard to COVID, bless his heart, and his wife, Kelly. My heart goes out to them, boy. And it's going to be interesting at Novi. This week, the shows he ran there. And,
yeah, because he was just always there. Whenever you needed something, you found Don, and he was always there.
They're doing a tribute for him. I'm not sure which night, but a little memorial thing to celebrate his life. And sometimes there's those people that just make everything work.
Yeah.
He will sorely be missed, and our hearts go out to Kelly.
We lost in Canada this weekend. We lost a iconic Schipperke breeder named Joyce Bernhardt from Capillaire and Schipperkes. I was informed yesterday from a friend of mine. And Joyce, I've known Joyce my whole life. I grew up with her boys. We were juniors together. Wow. And Joyce was one of those ones. They'd go the national, American national, and they'd either win the breed or they'd win winner's dog or whatever. They always did something. She was an icon in the breed of Schipperkes. So the world, the dog show world, lost another one in Joyce. And my heart goes out to her husband and her kids, the boys, Steve, and my buddies.
The good thing about having this dog show family is they are family, and it does sting a little bit. No matter how old they are and how old you were, and it's just part of the family, and it's always tough to lose these people. I just remind you why you do this.
When I was a kid, I'd go and spend weekends I was the same age as Paul, Steve, and Paul was younger brother. Paul ended up being in dogs longer than Steve, but we still hung out. Got into trouble, and Joyce would yell at us. We were in trouble doing something bad in the basement, It's like, what are you doing down there?
By the way, I admitted it was a weak moment, Will, but I admitted that I watched Hallmark Christmas movies. Remember?
You did.
Yeah, I did.
I got to save that.
It's beautiful. It's brilliant. And I'll say it again. It gets me the damn Christmas spirit, Will. That's what it does. And I love it. But it's over after the Christmas movies. It's it, right?
Yeah.
Cheryl is upstairs as I'm getting ready for the show tonight. And she sends me a video clip of a Hallmark movie called, I'm going to get this wrong, The Unleashing of Mr. Darcy. The Unleashing.
Unleashing of Mr. Darcy.
Mr. Darcy is an arrogant dog show judge. He's an arrogant dog show judge, is Mr. Darcy. And this young handler, he's so arrogant, she, of course, you know what happens. Well, it's a Hallmark movie. So I haven't seen it, but appetite
has been intrigued. I might have to watch this.
I know my appetite's been whetted. And I really just Cheryl sent me a message down here in my office. She sent me a little video clip of it, and they're showing Cavaliers, and they even say the right words. They say, I'll see you about just before the group starts, meet me up there. And the judge says, down and back. Huh. And guess what? They go down and back, Will. No one runs behind them.
In their Christmas sweaters.
Well, this isn't a Christmas movie. This is just
a Hallmark.
This is what I wouldn't know it because I only watch in December. This is whatever it is now.
The Hallmark has movies all year long?
Evidently. I didn't know this either. I didn't, because Cheryl tells you now there's Valentine week coming up. And I guess they're going to do some St. Pat. They always got whatever Hallmark cards you see. They're trying to sell the holiday. And there's always a holiday. Doesn't matter what it is. There's
Hallmark
always a holiday.
Dog show card.
Yeah. Jeez. The Unleashing of Mr. Darcy.
I like that. Do you remember the movie that came out, The Black Marble?
Yes. Yeah.
Woody was in there.
Yeah.
Woody was great. What an amazing! I watched.
I'm waiting for the movie Ribbons and Roses. I don't know when that's coming out.
But. Well, they're looking at the cast now. They're starting.
Are they really?
Yeah,
I got a couple suggestions.
Producers and whatnot.
We're gonna get in so much trouble. Oh, no. There's six there people think that's funny.
Not me.
We're not going to reveal any more information, ladies and gentlemen, because we've promised. I have two copies. Anyway, Unleashing of Mr. Darcy. And when Cheryl sent me the link so that I could find the name of the thing, it said, do you want it? I swear to you, this is true. It said, click on this and you can watch the movie on your computer through Prime Video. And if you do that, underneath it, it says, do you want to make this a watch party? So I could actually invite all these people.
I could watch it with you.
We could all watch it together.
You know, I think we should contact Hallmark and tell them what we do here.
Maybe they would
want to chip in.
I think they should. But, you know, they must have had some people in the sport, a good person in the sport, advise them because they cut back. You can't tell if it's actually Mr. Darcy's hands, because the cutaway shot. If it was ever going over the Cavalier, puts his hands in the right spot and looks natural doing it. So, yeah, it's beautiful.
They had a hand model like George Costanza.
Yeah. Shrinkage. Anyway.
This is a show, Jerry. It's a show.
Jeez. Anyway. We're losing it here. Well, oh, by the way, yeah. Did you hear about the big scandal in the Olympics, Will?
Uh-oh, what?
This just before I came on the air. I haven't read the whole thing. But evidently, they're in the women's hockey pool. Evidently, Canada beat the United States last night.
Yeah.
Women's hockey. And they looked so good. It was close. It was 4-2 or something close. It was close. But evidently, the Canadian women looked so good that they're investigating to see whether they're from Phoenix, Scottsdale, Arizona, or Salem, New Jersey, some of these Canadian players, and faking that they were Canadians because they're playing as good as people from Scottsdale, Arizona. Well, that's what playing like.
Yeah. Okay. Does anybody else get that? You know what he's doing? He's digging at me because of Austin Matthews.
Austin Matthews, an American player born in Scottsdale, Arizona, one of the stars of the NHL. Yeah. Well, I had to have something because I knew you were going to tease me about losing, but it's only a pool game. So we'll see. I don't even know what that means, but it's not
they to go the pool points. Afterwards.
No one's getting the medal yet. Have you been watching the Olympics?
No, I hate to say it. No, I haven't. Not yet.
Yeah. I've seen very, very little this year. Very little. I guess we should have dog show. If they can do snowboard in the air, how long can you hang in the air, whatever they do with that stuff. If they can do that, we should have dog show Olympics, don't you think?
Exactly. How long they can stay away from the Curtis Chair? How long they can go? How far? That's got to be 10 meters. They've got 10 meters from the judge. Get the tape out. That's a new world record.
Oh, that's going to cost them. What, in a straight line? That's going to cost them.
I can't even see that handler.
Oh, the radar gun's only collected at 39 miles an hour. That's not going to be fast enough for this down and back. That's going to cost them. Oh, that's beautiful. The judge from England, he just keeps shaking his head. What is this all about? Oh, this is beautiful. Anyway, well, where are you going next, Will?
I told you I'm going to Novi, but I'm judging again in 2 weeks. I have my second assignment in 2 weeks. So
well, that's right. That's right. Well, maybe I'll see. And I haven't quite figured out if the major's going to hold, if it's worth my 4 hours driving in the snow in a hotel to not see anything, but
I hear the reporters are all bunged up with the convoy, so I don't know what's happening there.
Yeah, you won't be, you have to sneak around the border somehow, go over the top and around the bottom.
Exactly.
Before I forget,
I'll throw a Tim Hortons coffee cup, and then as they all go for it, I'll zip across.
A couple donuts is all you need to throw, right?
Distract.
To get back to Jimmy's interview, I had one more thing that I forgot to mention about that. He said something that we've said before here. Guess when the shows were when we were doing this, Will?
Guess
Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday, 2 days a week, yeah.
And what that gave you was a week to do what in the kennel? Condition, that's learn, right. Trim, and train. That's where you share that information. At the dog show, everyone's too busy and hustle going back and forth to do any teaching.
Exactly.
But during the week in the kennel, when it's your turn to roll some coats or trim something or just clean up.
It's all part of it. Like I've always said that the dog show in the ring is, 15 minutes of fame and it's over. Everybody's famous for 15 minutes, the dog show. Yeah. That's the time you're
I never really thought about this until Jimmy said it, but when you only have two shows a week, on the weekends and 5 days home, not only is that better for everybody's mental and physical health, dogs and people, but I forgot that really, when I think about it, that is the opportunity to learn, isn't it? That's where we learn. That's where, Richard would stop by at the kennel and talk to Janie about some English cocker, or Teddy would stop by with some new dog. I remember when Teddy stopped by, it was Bichon for Bob the trim, because he didn't know what to do with it. It was just looked like a big ball of fur before they were recognized. And Bob just got his pipe and a big long shears from the poodles and made it into what he thought a Bichon. No one knew what they were supposed to look like then. And those are minutes that I'll never forget. And that happened Monday through Friday when we were home with the dogs. that's a difference. That's a difference. Lots of time and opportunity to learn. Not about where to get the best cheeseburger on which exit, because you've been to every one of them. Not about how long it's going to take you to get from Ohio to Virginia and then back to Santa Barbara and then stop over in Tallahassee. It was about learning in the kennel.
I think there are no phones. Nobody had those little phones to distract them. They had to listen, learn.
Yeah. When we were driving in the Bluebird, right behind Bob's driver's seat was a little dinette table with, you know, seats on both sides. That's where the help would sit. And if Bob decided to speak, it got quiet. You wanted to listen to every word. Yeah. We'd have discussions at the table and he'd be eavesdropping. He'd say, wait a second, that's wrong. You know, he'd tell you exactly how it's supposed to be. Pass me another Schlitz. All right, Bob.
The good old days.
I can tell you that John Prine's got a song. When I get to heaven, talks about what he's going to do when he gets to heaven. When I get to heaven, I'm going to find a Schlitz and pop it over for Bob. He deserves one or two, maybe 2 billion. Anyway. All right, William. I think I'm ready to pack up and count my points and count my blessings. Oh, I do want to say that I had a person call me to do some mentoring, and she had on pointers. She had the book that I wrote, Assessing the Show Pointer, 1977.
I was 12.
Pardon me?
I was 12.
I wasn't even born. I wrote it in utero.
Oh, okay.
She'd been to the Parent Club seminar. She'd been to the National. This is a breed that's nothing like her original breed. And she's talked to all, I said, here's some people you should also talk to. She already did. She'd done all that. She wasn't worried about the number of CEUs. She really wanted to learn this breed. She had great questions. How many judges are doing that?
Yeah, that's amazing.
How many are just seeing, how quickly can I get these CEUs? You know, because half the stuff that's really valuable, you don't get a point for. Life experience working for somebody, you know. You don't get points for that. Like for smooths, how many did I show and whelp and train and trim? I don't know, a billion. But none. I have one, not one point. I'm not listed as a breeder. I'm a whelper, like we all were. There's none for that. So that's the kind of thing that makes a good judge when they take that kind of time, like this woman did, and we hope that everybody does. And then if you have to go back and fill in your points, that's fine.
Yeah, I know we don't want to say the judge's name, but look at what she's done.
Yeah.
You know, she over excels in everything she does. Mm-hmm. So you got to know she's going to do the same thing as a judge. So
she is going to be one of our great ones. And I think she's already halfway there and she's new at this process here anyway. It's a hell of a dog woman. And I really look forward to seeing her in the future in the rings. Boy, she cares about nothing but good dogs. She doesn't care who you are, where you're from.
No, exactly. How she was, that's how she is in her breeding program with everything.
So yeah.
She does.
And as a in her profession too. But anyway, there you have it, young William.
All right.
Peace be with you, brother. Maybe I'll see you by this weekend. Now that I see your pretty face here on the screen in our little Zoom room here, how can I resist?
Oh, exactly.
How can I resist? You know?
We're both in blue turtlenecks, and we didn't even talk together today.
We are both wearing blue turtlenecks, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying we're proud of it, nor do we plan it, but it's that time of year. Yours is cooler than mine.
Oh, well, you know.
It looks warmer.
It is definitely warmer.
That's like a full sweater. This is just a thing. Whatever. All right. That's enough.
All right.
Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. We really appreciate your input and your feedback. And every weekend, it just blows my mind when I go to the shows or get emails or messages from all over the world. It's humbling to think that people are listening. I think one reason is they enjoy the show, and the other is it's pretty much the only show. So there's no choice. They're trying to figure out what the hell are those guys talking about anyway. Anyway, all right. Well, maybe see you this weekend. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you all coming up soon. Thanks again for your support. We appreciate it. Young William.
Party on, Garth. And everybody drive safe. And we'll see you at the next show.
Party on, Garth.
I'm born no way.
Way.
Down Rocky Cliffs. Give me grace. Bury my sins. Shattered
glass. So Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right. We love you, man. From where I need to go.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself damn seriously.
Thanks, Will. Thanks, Ernie.